Welcome to the circular future. The building industry plays a crucial role in our sustainability as a society. Not only is real estate development a major contributor to global emissions, but our built environment also influences how we live, connect, and contribute to the world around us. It's where communities are formed, and it's where we have the power to make a positive impact. So, how can real estate developers create a path for a circular future? I'm your host, Stephanie McLarty, Head of Sustainability at Quantum Lifecycle Partners. Today, we're exploring how innovation is transforming our condo buildings to support a circular economy. Back in 1950, 30% of us lived in cities. Now, more than half of us call urban areas our home. And by 2030, it's projected that 60% of the population will reside in cities. While this density brings advantages like walkability and access to public transit, it also presents new challenges. Because you may not need a car while living in a condo, it may be hard to transport big materials around and get to community recycling sites. And because most condos prioritize indoor space, there is little room to do repairs or upcycling activities, not to mention the possible mess or noise. But innovative thinking is breaking new ground in this realm. Today, we have a special guest, Megan Wilson, who will share her firsthand experience as a real estate developer involved in a circular pilot project. She'll enlighten us on how this project has reshaped the design and approach to building. Megan is a senior manager, sustainability with the Daniels Corporation, a Greater Toronto Area-based residential developer and builder with a mission to build inclusive and sustainable communities to create a better future for all. Megan works collaboratively through all stages of the development process to support the design and construction of low-carbon communities, executing on the ambitious corporate goals laid out by Daniels' decarbonization roadmap. Welcome to the podcast, Megan.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so excited that you're here. I think this is a really interesting and innovative story. So first of all, tell us about the pilot project between Daniels, Goodwill, and Quantum.
Yeah, pleasure. So the pilot project is a e-waste and textiles diversion program that we've implemented in a multifamily residential building in Regent Park in Toronto. And so the idea is that residents can conveniently dispose of or donate their e-waste, so cell phones, printers, things like that, and their textiles, so clothing and linens, really in the comfort of their own home. So it just makes it so much more accessible and easy for people not to throw those in the garbage, really contaminate our landfill with these materials that can otherwise be reused.
Absolutely. And I think you always have to make it easy for people to do the right thing. How did this all come about?
So the origin story of the program is that in Toronto and a lot of municipalities, you're required to allocate space for bulky waste, so big furniture items and things like that, and for hazardous materials. So that would be like paint or things like e-waste. But a lot of the times people don't actually use them properly or even know that they exist. So by putting actually dedicated bins in, so and advertising the programming, we can make sure that we're collecting more of these waste streams and ensuring that they don't end up in landfill.
And how do you ensure that people put the materials in and that other people don't necessarily take them out?
We do have some security in place. So, of course, we've got security cameras. They're in a secure area of the underground parking garage. But we also have, the bins themselves are designed so you can't go reach in and pull anything back out. And we also have property management checking, especially the e-waste bin, regularly to make sure they're actually taking out any valuable goods and putting them into a dedicated secure storage space elsewhere in the building.
That's amazing. Yeah, security is so important when it comes to electronics. What's the uptick been on this project so far?
Yeah, we've gotten really good feedback from residents and our property management team. So Goodwill comes about every month. They come and pick up an overflowing bin of textiles. And there's been a lot of e-waste as well. So we've got one of those big Gaylord bins in the secure area. And I know that's really, really piling up.
And I understand this is a true partnership. So how did that partnership aspect
evolve and come into being?
So the partnership was really through conversation with your colleague, Clayton. So I actually approached him to look for e-waste pickup for this property. Just, hey, do you guys do this? And he said, yes, but it actually costs maybe like $100 or something per pickup. And we decided that, can we actually do more of a different type of arrangement instead and really leverage the Quantum existing partnership with Goodwill to say, hey, if we also collect these textiles and get those out of our landfill waste stream, can we actually also separate the e-waste out and have Goodwill really do the logistics and the sort of the legwork on the pickup? So that's really efficient. It's a consolidated program to make sure it's sort of a no-cost, double win situation for everyone.
That is a really great story on how something that wouldn't have been feasible before because of cost and logistics really became possible because of leveraging other organizations and leveraging existing networks and efficiencies. So I love that. And I think there's so much more we can take away, spark innovation from these partnerships.
Sure.
I understand this pilot project has sparked some longer-term thinking in terms of circular economy hubs. So tell us about your circular economy hubs.
Yeah, so this pilot project was really, I guess, just tackling two waste streams, specifically the e-waste and the textiles. But now going forward in our new construction portfolio, we're looking to deploy this is really as a amenity. So the circular economy hub is really a makerspace that we're putting into a lot of our new projects. But it has really the synergy with the bulky waste store, these different diversion programs all integrated into one. So someone can come and see in the bulky waste area, there's an old desk or something, and they can sort of pull this really across the hallway into the makerspace. And there'll be tools and different things present there where they can paint it. They can use dollies or things like that to bring it up to their unit and make sure that doesn't end up in the landfill as well.
Makerspace gets me excited because that is really cool. And I've seen a picture of the circular economy hub. Can you paint the picture for our listeners? What is this going to actually look like? And we'll include a link as well in the show notes.
For sure. Yeah. So the circular economy hub, it is really, I guess, a makerspace, but designed really intentionally to promote upcycling, just the sharing economy. So we've got, of course, the big countertops, the workstations. We've got sort of a mini free library in there. So we've got the shelving that's dedicated for sort of like a take a book, leave a book type model. We've even got a small clothing rack in the corner. So if people have really good clothing that they don't just want to donate first, they can actually put a nice jacket or something up on the clothing rack and someone in the community come and see it and say, hey, that's a nice jacket. I'll take that before it sort of makes its way off to Goodwill. And it's got a nice connection with the outdoors. So it actually has direct access outside where we have a bike repair station, a hose, you can hose off your bike or whatever you're working on. So it's really just designed to promote upcycling and the circular economy as a whole.
Yeah. And it's literally an Instagram worthy space. Like it's a bright, I'd like to spend time in there. Is it designed for people for hobbies, or could someone actually do, let's say, a side hustle in there?
I think someone could definitely use it as a side hustle. I think, of course, you have to remember that it's a shared space. It is the community. So if you're in there 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, I think you do have to just be conscientious of your neighbors that there's going to be more people coming in and out. But definitely if your side hustle is refinishing desks and you take that desk, refinish it and resell it, for sure, that's all part of the circular economy. So we definitely want to promote that.
That's neat. And I understand you're building this into your new buildings.
For sure. Yeah. So we're looking to deploy it on, I believe, 3 or 4 buildings currently under design. And then the actual pilot of just the e-waste and textiles, we're looking to deploy that on a few buildings that are just finishing up construction in the next couple of years.
Amazing. And like this, it sounds cool. I mean, it makes me excited just hearing about it, something that I would personally be interested in. And it's clearly good for the environment, good for the planet. What's the business case behind this for Daniels? Like, why are you doing this? Is it just for the, that good for the environment play, or is there something more to this?
Yeah, definitely. We're setting ourselves apart in terms of taking a leadership position on the sustainability front. So being able to really tie into our sustainability story is key and one of our core values as a business. But there is really our desire to empower people to live lives more sustainably as well. So by giving people the space to do these activities, you're actually really promoting it and letting people do different things that you wouldn't normally be able to do in a condo. We also have a really strong social impact mandate. So really bringing the community together in these different ways is also really one of our core values. And we really want to promote that in all of our communities.
And are you first to market with this idea of a circular economy hub?
We believe so. I know there's been lots of makerspaces. That's a pretty common amenity, but really the intention around the programming, on the upcycling, the waste diversion and things all together, we think that's pretty unique and special here.
It is unique. I love it. And this idea of partnerships, now that you've been doing this pilot program with Goodwill and with Quantum, any advice for successful partnerships that you've seen so far out of this?
For sure. So I think definitely the alignment of values is a common theme that you always see in partnerships. So like we said, like our strong care for sustainability, of course, and social impact. I know that ties in really strongly with both Goodwill and yourselves here at Quantum. So I think just really having a common goal that you can work towards and really just having a comfort to be able to really jam on these things. And when you call up someone like Clayton and say, hey, we're looking for e-waste, he's not just thinking, oh, just e-waste. He's thinking really more broadly. He's thinking about their partnerships and really the strategic alignment on all fronts.
Amazing. And where's the first circular economy hub?
So the first circular economy hub is going to be at a project that's currently on sale right now. It's called MPV2. It's in Brampton, right by Mount Pleasant GO Station.
Is it just the circular economy hub that makes the building sustainable, or are there other aspects to it as well?
So the first, I guess, deployment of the circular economy hub as an official amenity is going to be at a project that's actually on sale right now called MPV2, and it's in Brampton, right by Mount Pleasant GO Station. So this community is actually really unique in that it's really sustainable on all fronts. And so this is actually the first project that's under our new decarbonization roadmap. And so it has a lot of low carbon features, including a geo exchange mechanical system, which greatly reduces natural gas consumption for heating and hot water. It also has an entire series of net zero townhomes, which are all electric. So they use heat pump technology instead of traditional furnaces and hot water boilers. And they also have rooftop mounted solar.
So this decarbonization roadmap is a long-term plan for decarbonizing Daniel's new buildings?
Precisely. So it focuses on the design carbon impact of our portfolio. So we measure the designed energy and carbon impact of operating. We also go and perform what's called life cycle assessments. And we look at all the materials, construction processes, and everything that goes into actually building the building. And over the next 5 years, we're looking to reduce our carbon footprint by 40 to 65%.
Amazing. I can see how these circular economy hubs fit in with that, because we've seen on the Quantum side, we've developed a sustainability calculator that calculates the emissions that are saved through reuse and recycling. And even from reuse over recycling, it's 7 to 21 times the emissions that are saved over even recycling, just because you're keeping product in use and then also keeping commodities in use. That's amazing. In terms of partnerships, this has really become successful because of the partnership between Daniels and Goodwill and Quantum. Any advice for setting up a strong partnership to develop a program like this?
So really, it's finding that alignment in values and getting creative, I think, in order to go through with the execution. So of course, we know Quantum and Goodwill, both are also very aligned with us in terms of strong sustainability and social impact mandates. So then just getting like-minded people together, I think you can really get creative in terms of this pilot program where you're integrating the two different waste stream pickups together. And so that's just a great example, I think, of minds coming together.
Yeah, finding efficiencies, especially on the logistics front, because for so many companies, Quantum included, emissions from transportation of goods and movements is such a big factor in an overall carbon plan. I don't know if you're finding that at Daniels as well.
For sure. And multifamily is such a great opportunity because it is very dense. And so you're not having the super decentralized pickup points. It's really, you've already got great density. You've got maybe 300 units all in one place. And so the amount of e-waste and textiles donations that come through is enough that actually merits an individual pickup point. So it's great.
That makes sense. Was it a struggle to get buy-in for this overall, or did that flow easily once this project was explained?
It honestly flowed really easily. I think it because it is just that alignment and values. Really, you just present a concept internally and no one can really fault it. It's just, that sounds amazing. Just keep running with it. Keep running with it. You just integrate with your different groups, including your on-site construction teams, our property management, everyone just really on board and really receptive to the idea.
That's great. Yeah. And it's really simple at its heart, right? Like it's a concept of bring your materials together, find efficiencies of your providers and maximizing your pickups. and making sure everything goes to the right place. And I love that you're in, then taking that to the next step with these circular economy hubs, because then you're giving your residents, your community members, that opportunity to upcycle right there on site.
For sure.
So as we close this out, I always ask for one piece of advice, because I think your story tells so much around applying creativity and innovation to your thinking, whatever it is that you're doing. You can, you know, create something really new and innovative and resource efficient out of this. What advice would you have to business managers or leaders for them to help them on their journey of implementing creativity and innovation in their business?
For sure. Yeah. I think one piece of advice could be, if you have a problem, sometimes it's not necessarily just about solving that one problem. It's really taking a step back and looking at something as a whole ecosystem. So for example, our problem was, what do you do with this allocated space? And so what we did is we took a step back and said, okay, how can we look at this more holistically in terms of programming and partnerships, and see how can we drive the most value in actually executing on it? And so really, it's not just looking at by products, but something like a by process that really drives these efficiencies and makes these things happen.
Yeah. And I love that you're looking at this holistically. It's not just one specific problem. It's like, how do we do this as an entire system? Amazing. Thank you so much, Megan, for being on the podcast.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That was so inspiring and has really got me thinking differently as well. And that's it for today, folks. Head on over to quantumlifecycle.com/podcast and follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. This is a Quantum Lifecycle podcast. The producers are Sanjay Trivedi and Faiza Gubani. We'll see you next time.